God in all situations. Acknowledging God in all situations. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, I think this scripture is very familiar to those who read the scriptures. Proverbs 3, 6. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Take these scriptures, so precious to our hearts. And it's very easy to acknowledge God when we are in the church, when we are in fellowship, when we are gathered together as a group in prayer meetings. It's these scriptures, we acknowledge God in all our ways when we are together, right? That's very easy to do in the church. But how about when you're out? How about when you're in the world? How about when you're alone? How about when you're at home? How about when you face difficulties, problems? In a real world we are living, right? How about when you are in a real world, when situations comes, when temptations comes, especially when you are alone, a lot of times. You know, remember David, King David. He didn't want to do anything. Everybody was at war, but he just wanted to stay at home and just do nothing. That's where the enemy came and tempted him, right? And here it's so important that Christians are also called the servants of God. We need to remember that. We are also called the servants of God. Why I'm trying to express this, and why I want to kind of emphasize this, as we need to occupy until Jesus comes. He said, occupy till I come. If we do not occupy in God's business, as servants, the devil will have all kinds of things for you, with temptations and everything. It's really important for us to remember. The word servant comes from the word serve. Simple as that. It means to perform continuous duties, to serve someone. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Right? So, you cannot serve either money or God. You cannot serve two masters. Serve means to perform continuous duties. The word servant is related to slave. A slave is a bond servant. Or a bond slave, the Bible calls it bond servant. A bond servant is a slave, one who is wholly subjected to another person's will. That's a slave. That means it's not my will, it's another person's will that I'm going to perform. That means it's not my what I want to do, but that what that person wants to do. Now that's hard, isn't it? Not that easy to be a slave to somebody. So the slave is really the property of another person. Isn't that what the Bible says? We don't belong to ourselves, right? It's property. This body is not us. It's not us. It's being redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. But on the other hand, we have got to see how we came, our old nature. The unbelievers are slaves to sin, right? That means they are controlled by the power and the passions of sin. Alright? So they will walk according to the flesh, according to their feelings, according to their desires, according to the passions of the flesh, they will walk. That means they will not walk by faith, they will walk by sight. When God converts an unbeliever, he becomes a bond servant to the Lord. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 10. Romans 6:10. Chapter 6, verse 6, 10 to 13. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness to God. When we were unbelievers, we used our members for unrighteousness, for sin. And now what Paul is saying is, just like Christ died, we need to be crucified. We live in Christ Jesus. So all these passions, all these desires needs to be crucified. Alright? That means when we do that, we become, it's not my will that's going to be done. It's not what I want to do done, what needs to be done, but it's somebody else's will. You become a bond servant, a slave. So all true Christians are servants. But many who call themselves Christians, but they do not want to serve God. They are not truly Christians. Servant is not subject to his will, but to his master's will. If you remember, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, it's not your will, but it's God's will, right? As a true servant, he does the will of God. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see that? That's a servant. So everybody says, Lord, Lord, God, God, Jesus, I love you, I believe in Jesus, doesn't make any sense unless you do the will of the Father. It's not your will. It's God's will. You're a bond servant now. You have been brought from darkness and you have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to a new person. You are in the light. And you are brought from Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two kingdoms. Kingdom of darkness. In a kingdom, there is a king. Kingdom of darkness. Satan's kingdom. He is a king. Now we have been brought to another kingdom. That in that kingdom, the king is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, to a king, we become a bond servant to that king. And Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus said, Luke 22:42, just before going to the cross, the Lord Jesus said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Wow. Even the Lord Jesus subjected to the Father's will. It's not my will, but yours will be done. If Jesus set that example for us, how much more for us? That means, you know, going to the cross, it's not easy, it's going to be tough. He knew that he was going to be ridiculed. He knew that the Son of God, the Holy One of God, is going to be punished, mocked, ridiculed in front of people, and eventually be crucified. There's going to be agony and pain. But the easy road is not going to the cross. A lot of times when trials, problems comes in our way, in our situations, it's easy to come to church and listen to the Word of God and say, well, you know, that's really blessed me. But when you're truly in the world, when you're truly coming across temptations and real problems, difficulties, my flesh doesn't like it, neither yours. We want to get out the easy way out. Easy way means what our flesh likes it, but not what God wants us to do. Okay? There are no instant escapes in Christianity. Okay? We are used to this instant kind of society. We live in an instant way. We want it right now. Okay, got a headache? Take an Advil. Okay, get something to eat? Take some TV dinners from the freezer. Put it in the microwave. Alright? Get into the car if it's hot. Put the air conditioner on. We want something quick. That's what our flesh needs. In the same way, we cannot take those principles to our Christian walk. Right? So when things really happen to us, difficulties and things that we don't like us, we try to escape. So that's why we need to be like the Lord Jesus, have long suffering, patience and prayer. And ask Lord, not my will. This is my will, is to escape and to find a solution quick. But let God's will be done. So servant is always a profitable to the master, isn't it? You know, a servant is always profitable to the master. But a person who says he's a Christian but a servant, but not a servant, is not profitable to God. Now, that's why Jesus said, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, said, cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That person was not a true Christian at all. But people say they are Christians, right? And that's not a servant at all. So Jesus said they are unprofitable. So cast them into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So remember, as Christians, we are all servants to God. We are all bond servants to God. Now, I want you to look at Apostle Paul. He was an unbeliever. He used his time and strength to persecute the Christians. But when he was converted to God, he used all his time and strength to the glory of God in preaching the gospel. Remember, when Paul started to do God's will, right? Not his will, things didn't become easy. Right? If you're doing your will, you will kind of go through a, you might wonder, well, I don't have problems. Everything is fine and dandy, you know. Everything is good for me. I have no persecutions, no problems, everything is good. I wonder whether if you're in God's will or not. Sometimes you meet and ask, am I in God's will? Because if you're truly in God's will, Satan is not going to die like it. The Bible says, all who are godly will be what? Suffer persecution. And so we need to ask, everything is going fine, I have no problems, I come to church, I read my Bible, you know, I listen to the sermon, fine. But, you know, remember, Paul, when he was converted to God, things didn't become easy for him. If you turn with me, instead of doing, Paul was doing God's will, and Satan started to stop the word of God being preached. Right? See, the servant does the master's will, right? And what do? We as Christians are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. We are the light of Christ that shows to the world. So when we do Christ's will as a servant, serving the master, the enemy, he doesn't like that. There's opposition. There's opposition always going to come. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 22. A multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Now why? The reason is, if you remember, Apostle Paul went and preached against idols and so forth like that, and people, you know, came from idol worship, you know, and they forsook their idols. So some of the people, they lost their business. And also on the Sabbath day, if you remember on this chapter, you will see how Lydia was converted. So Satan is mad. All these things happening. So the multitude of people rose against Paul. And they were their clothes were, you know, torn off, and they were magistrate. They commanded them to be beaten with rods. That's going to be easy. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Our question is, you're doing God's will. Because you're a servant of God, doing God's will, and you're going to get beaten. And you're going to get mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. And you're going to be beaten and put in jail. What will you do? What will you do? If you were in that situation. Oh, we are going to talk about that later. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is, will you get upset? Will you fret? Will you get angry? Will you? Oh, let's see what Paul did. And verse 24, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. Inner prison is more like in a dungeon where there is darkness, and it's a place where there are totally uncomfortable place. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, what did they do? They started cry and weep? No. They started to pray. And they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Wow! It's a testimony. Here, these guys are beaten, totally beaten, and put in an inner dungeon, and the prisoners are saying, wow, wow, this is truly amazing. How can this be? These guys are rejoicing in God. Doesn't the Bible say that in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct the path? We know that scripture. Now this is in reality. Paul is using those scriptures in real life. Rejoice in the Lord always, right? And what happened? Suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, threw his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called the loud voice saying, Do not yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then the Philippian jailer, we know the story, he asked, sir, what must I do to be saved? Why did he run to Paul? Why didn't he go to anybody else? He knew this guy was different. He's a true Christian. If somebody has a problem in your work, I'll tell you, they will not live like a Christian, but they know that when they really have a problem, they'll go to who? To the Christian and ask, can you pray for me? And here, Philippian jailer went to Paul. You know why he went to Paul? Because Paul was living as a Christian. And this is what the rubber meets the road. It's easy to acknowledge God here in the church, but in out, that's where your faith is being tested. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4:11. Apostle Paul said, to the present hour we both hunger and thirst. He's talking physical hunger and physical thirst. And we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Wow. Can you believe that? That's what happens when you're truly serving God as a bond servant. You are going to be persecuted. Verse 12 says, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure. When people mock at them and curse them, they are blessed. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Then Paul goes on to say on verse 16, if you see, therefore I urge you, imitate me. What he's saying is, look, imitate me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Right? Imitate me. Look at me. This is why I love Christ. Imitate me. That's what the apostle says. I'm going through difficult times, and this is what I do when I go through difficult. It's not my will. It's God's will. I'm a bondservant to God. And that's hard. That's why Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, trials and tribulations. But be of cheer. I have overcome the world. Now Satan tried everything to stop Paul preaching. Paul never gave up. Satan tried everything. He was beaten up 3 times. He was shipwrecked. He went out hunger. They stoned him. I mean, he was beaten. Did everything to stop this guy preaching the gospel, but he didn't. The more he was beaten, the more he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord, he said. So the more he was beaten, he became more stronger in the grace of God. And no, Satan couldn't stop this guy. He couldn't. The gospel was going even further. It was because of Paul's. He was a bondservant. Every time he wrote a book, he said, I'm a bondservant of the Lord. He was very happy. He was rejoicing when he said, I'm a bondservant of the Lord. Wow. But today we are living in a world, we don't even realize that we are servants of God. The way we live. But Satan couldn't stop Paul. But at the end, you know what he did? He put Paul in prison. That will stop him. That will stop preaching. He cannot talk to anybody. If I put him in prison, that will keep his mouth shut. That's it. That's the end of his career. That's the end of his bond servant. That's going to stop him. Well, I'll tell you. That didn't stop him. Paul, in prison, he wrote the book of Ephesians. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. As a servant to the Lord, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, and he writes this. And also Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And here, when Paul was put into prison, how did Paul spend his time in prison? You are lonely in prison. What are you going to do? Well, I want a TV. I can be, you know, watch at least a TV. I want a radio. I want to do something in prison. What did Paul have? The prison in those days are not like the prisons today, where there is a lot of comfort. But today, I mean those days, the prison was a real place of punishment. So what did he do? Here Paul, his freedom of preaching is being restrained. He was not a criminal like any other to be put in prison. He was unjustly put in prison. So what do you do in a circumstance like this? Did Paul yell at the people who put him in prison and say, look at the injustice they have done. I'm going to write a book on this one for the injustice they have done, and when I get out of prison, I'm going to print it and let the whole world read it. Because it's not fair. It's not fair. How many of us say when it comes to situations and that you become the victim and you know it is not right and you say, it is not fair. What wrong did I do to suffer these circumstances? What wrong did I do? Because now I'm suffering these circumstances. What wrong did I do? Did Paul do that? But how many of us do that? Do you know, whenever you say this, you're sinning against God's providence. He sang that song, whatever my God ordains is right. So, he sang that song. I mean, we can sing songs nicely. Whatever God ordains is right, and we are excited about it. But when real things happen, oh man, we forget everything what we sang, huh? Forget all the scriptures that we read. Paul knew this, that he was a prisoner of Nero. But also Paul knew that he was in God's hand and God is in control. That is something basic that everybody needs to know. It was God's providence for him to be in prison. Nothing can happen to him without God's permission. Nothing can happen to the child of God without God's permission. Did Paul try to... What would people do if you were in Paul's shoes, you know, you're preaching the gospel, say, I want to be a bondservant, and you went through some persecution, you were put in prison, what will you do? Will you find a way to escape the prison? Dig a hole? And come up with a splendid idea, with a plan, master plan, so you can go and preach the gospel again. He knew that God was in control. Or did Paul become so negative in prison and say, woe unto me! And thinking always of negativism and asking, why? Maybe this happened because I did this. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. You get into that when it comes to problems. Asking, why? It shouldn't have happened to this, you know, if I did that. It's my fault now. I should have done the other way and say, woe unto me. And you weep and cry. And, you know, and try to put the blame on somebody else always and say, you should have done this, you know, things like that. Always being negative and negative. And day and night thinking about it in prison. And crying and weeping. Is that going to be very good for Paul? It's not going to be good for your health either. There are many who live in negative thoughts. Always worrying and worrying, murmuring, complaining of their situation. This is also sinning against God's providence. Remember Joseph, when he was put to prison, did he complain? He was put for unjust reasons. How many get angry of their situations? They say, I don't like this. To become fretful. The word fret means to get upset. To get upset and to get angry. Have that angry feelings. That is being fretful. So, we read the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Let's read that again. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Evil people around the world are always going to be there. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. There are a lot of wicked people around you, so do not fret. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on His faithfulness. So, as Christians, we need to trust in the Lord. In every situation. Acknowledge Him in every situation. Then it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Instead of being fretful, the opposite is what? Delight yourself in the Lord. Just like Paul and Silas. They were not fretful in the prison. Right? They were rejoicing in the Lord, delighting in the Lord. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Then He says, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noon. Rest in the Lord and patiently for Him. So just resting in the Lord, you know. Not getting agitated and afraid, you know what I mean? And complain and getting angry. A lot of times when real situations comes that you don't expect, that you don't like, so many get agitated. They perk up, like, you know, and they cannot just, the Bible says, just relax. Rest in the Lord. This is just one day. Tomorrow is coming. Don't worry about it. Take it easy. Then it says, do not fret because of him who prospers in this way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes what? How many marriages are being broken because of this? I don't like it. The Bible says everything is ordained by God. It's been decreed by God. So everything happens according to God's purpose. God is in control. Sometimes we don't like it. Our flesh doesn't like it. It hurts our flesh. But gotta rest in the Lord. So also, turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. Remember, the children of Israel, when they were brought from Egypt, they were slaves to the enemy, Pharaoh. But God brought them out of Egypt. God said, I'm going to bring you up from Egypt so that you can worship me and serve me, and here on the way to the promised land. Promised land is a type of heaven. Alright? But before you go to the promised land, you've got to go through what? The wilderness. And we are in a wilderness in this world right now. In the wilderness, what do you see? Temptations. So all the congregation lifted up, verse 1, lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us this land to befall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And you can see verse 27. Let's read verse 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? When they were complaining to Moses, God says, no, they're not complaining to you. They're complaining to me. I am the one who brought them out. I'm the one who decreed everything to happen this way. So whatever is God's providence, they are coming against the providence of God. And then it says, I have heard the complaints with the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I saw I would make you dwell in the land, except Joshua and Caleb. All the others, they went by sight, by feelings, by passions, except Joshua and Nun. They walk by faith in trusting in God. So, when there was no food to eat, God rained them manna, they said, they complained. When there was no water in the desert, they complained. But God provided them water even in the desert, through a rock. So these people started to complain and murmur. That means in the wilderness, you're going to go through some difficult times, just like in this world. You will go through difficult times. Trials and tribulations will come after you. Temptations will come. Are you going to complain when those things come? Are you going to murmur? Say, why? Why? And then put the blame on everybody else and fret, and that's not going to do any good for you. But just rest in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. Trust in Him. So Paul, even in prison, instead of being negative and complaining, he used his time to serve God. Satan couldn't stop that. He couldn't change the Word of God. Amen. This time, instead of preaching, what did he do? He wrote. He wrote the book of Ephesians from prison. When you read the book of Ephesians, you can see the depths of God's doctrine in this book, not in any other book. You can see how deep the doctrines are. You will see the sovereignty of God. You will see the decrees of God. You will see the responsibility of man. You will see all these doctrines in this one book. And also you will see the practical things to the believer. You see everything. Paul did not become negative and cry and gripe in doom and gloom, but he, even in prison, he served God. Now that's a bond servant. That means in all situations, even in prison, he acknowledged God. Remember, another person who was put in prison for preaching the gospel was John Bunyan. John Bunyan, for preaching the gospel, he was a very poor man. He was put in prison. Wow. What did he do in prison? He wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress today is the fastest selling book next to the Bible. It is the only book that has been translated to so many languages next to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, even up to now. Because this man, he, even in prison, he wanted to serve God, John Bunyan. And you read John Bunyan's works, his sermons, and you can see, wow, it really extols God and shows our sins. And God used this man who did not know much doctrine, but his works are so much filled with doctrine. He learned all that in prison. He didn't have encyclopedias or anything. He had the Bible. But his mind was all the scriptures. He had everything in his mind. It was a walking encyclopedia. John Bunyan. But God used him, right? And how many people are being affected later on? Paul, Paul just was obedient to God's will. It's not my will. God's will be done. Here I'm put in prison. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to write. I got all the time now to write. When he was preaching, he didn't have that time to write. Right? He was just preaching. Now he has all the time to write. If Satan knew that, he wouldn't have put him in prison. But who got the glory at the end? God gets the glory, isn't it? A lot of times we don't see, we are so short-minded. We see, look, what happened to me? Now I cannot do all the other things. But later on, see the outcome. He wrote the book of Ephesians. We had the book of Ephesians. Why? Because he went to prison. A lot of these books, Paul wrote because he was in prison. One third of the, I mean, third of the New Testament was written by Paul. You know why? He was in prison. We had the New Testament because most of the New Testament was written by Paul. He was in prison. Now we can just cherish those scriptures because here a man was, he obliged God's will rather than his will. A lot of times you don't understand why it's happening. Don't ask why. And don't complain. Don't fret. Just trust in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and do whatever you can do to serve God there. And later on, you may not see the results. Just like the missionary who went to India, Hudson Taylor. When he went to India, he didn't see the results when in his lifetime. But later on, you can see the results. After generations later, how Chinese people, not to India, I'm sorry, to China, Hudson Taylor went to China. Later on, you see the results, how many Chinese became Christians. See, I think it's so important that we need to glorify God in all situations. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, from 1:12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of your inheritance and the redemption, the purchase, position to the praise and of His glory. Therefore, I also have, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledge of Him. Wow. Paul was able to give glory and thanks to God, even praying for the saints. Wow. Of course, there was a man who was an encouragement to Paul, you know, one Onesiphorus, who went to Paul and encouraged him in the prison. So when one person is down, we need another brother or a sister or somebody who can, yeah, praise God. You know, whatever happened, it's give glory to God and encourage that person. Instead of going and telling, you know, brother, I think you fell into this situation because you did something wrong. Something, of course, I'm not saying that when you sin, you reap evil, right? That also happens. But remember, all things, you know, God, everything happens of God, right? So, remember that not my whole thing, what I'm trying to say is don't be negative in what, in that situation. And nothing is going to do any good. Okay, don't complain. So we need to give glory to God and just look forward and do what you're supposed to do for the kingdom of God. So acknowledging God in all situations. Something that we need to remember. And because we will in the future, or now, or in time to come, in the future, you will face those situations. And when you face those situations, just be like Paul. Oh man, when I read these accounts of Paul, how many times you get convicted. Now we have totally, you know, gone, we, a lot of times, we try to please our flesh, or please somebody else, or show somebody else that you are doing good, instead of to be real as a Christian, to be genuine. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for the lesson that you have given us today, Lord. It's so important to be that light in this dark world, and to be the true ambassadors of Christ, and Lord, to be the true representative of Christ Father, there is a great difference between a true Christian and a hypocrite. A hypocrite is always acknowledge God in the church, but not outside the church when trials and problems come. A lot of times we have been so hypocritical, and we have been double-minded people. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord, and your grace, that we would be able to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like how Paul imitated the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be able to imitate him too, Lord, and follow his ways, Lord. That we would be able to endure sufferings and persecutions and overcome temptations, Lord. And Lord God Almighty, that we would be victorious because of you, what you have done, and the grace you have given us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we would learn this lesson, good Lord, that so that we would not become fretful, angry, and that we would not become complainers and being so negative, but Lord, that we will trust in you and rest in your hands, Lord, and do the work that you have called us to do, and that we will be content in all situations. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.